Welcome to another episode of Trafford Talk. I'm Ollie, and this week I'm joined by my co-host Marnie.
Hello.
Right, let's start off by talking about the Fulham game. We've just beaten Fulham 3-0. And Marnie, not a bad game. Not a bad game.
Yeah, no, very, very, very good game. I think it's very professional. We've seen Pogba, you know, doing his usual stuff. Mm-hmm. Martial as well. Two pivotal players for us today. Yeah, and I think it's just overall a pretty faultless performance.
Yeah. The first goal, Paul Pogba. I mean, let's start off with him. What an absolute monster he's been under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I think he's the best midfielder in the world right now.
On current form. I mean, listen to this. Since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's taken over, in the Premier League for United, he's got most goals, most assists, most fouls won, most shots on target, most chances created, most takeouts completed. The guy is just, he's out of this world.
Yeah, he is. I mean, the guy, Mourinho is just holding him back so much, and it's evident. Like, you can just see what he's doing now. He's totally free, and he's showing all of his qualities.
Yeah, I mean, that first goal was, I mean, to be fair, the keeper could have done better. Rico could have done better there. But still, it was a great little pass, because him and Martial were linking up really well earlier on, and they did throughout, really. But we weren't playing that well at the beginning of the game, but they were playing really well. And for the goal, Martial tried to slap Pogba through a couple of times, but finally he got through, and instead of passing it, he just went for goal.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those ones where the goalie probably thought the likelihood is he's going to cross it.
100%, because you saw, like, even in the replay, you could see, and I think Gary Neville said it on commentary as well, you could see the keeper kind of took a gamble, stepped to the left to anticipate the cross.
And, yeah, exactly.
Pogba took advantage.
I mean, any regular player would have crossed it. So, I mean, the keeper was obviously thinking he's going to cross it, and it just opened up that near post.
Yeah, I know. I mean, man of the match again today. He's just been outstanding. 8 goals and, 5 assists since Solskjaer took charge. He's got, 11 goals in the league this season, which is his best tally ever.
He's the highest scoring midfielder in the league now as well.
Yep. So most goal involvements in the league as well since Solskjaer came in as well with 13. So
21 goal involvements in 30 games this season.
Yeah, it's insane. Absolutely insane. And for the second goal, Anthony Martial, he is
the French Ronaldo
on fire, on fire. I mean, that goal was unbelievable. It actually was shades of Ronaldo, like against Fulham from 2007. Like the guy just ran through on goal, beat one, beat two, just went through and slotted it bottom right. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I think we'll see that for many years to come. I mean, with the, like, you can see now, Pogba and Martial, Mourinho wanted to sell those two, which makes no sense. Imagine he wanted to sell Martial and get Willian or Perisic. That literally blows my mind.
Insane. With that goal, Martial equaled his goal tally from last season as well. And it's only February, so 11 goals in the across all competitions this season. He's really performing.
Yeah, I mean, Lukaku, that guy, I just don't know what to say anymore. The guy's honestly useless. It's like we're playing with 10 guys when he's on the pitch.
Honestly, the guy just, first half, all he did was just miss headers. Like, the amount of times, the second half as well, the amount of the balls that came into the box room, and he just kind of misheaded it. I don't know why. Like, I don't know how hard it is to get your head on the end of a cross, but he was just struggling big time. And it was more than just like the headers or not. Like, everyone can forgive not scoring a goal. It's really the performance you're looking at for him. And again, he just didn't seem to be involved in the game. I remember certainly what stood out to me was when he was breaking and Martial was on the left, just set him through. Like, there was so much leeway for the pass, but it was just like such a, like, the weight of the ball was like so poor. It was just, it didn't even get to him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, that could have been another goal, especially with the four Martial's in.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Gary Neville even said, in that position, you'd rather overhit the ball than underhit the ball.
Yeah.
And he just didn't put enough on it. And I think he doesn't, like, the thing with Lukaku is he doesn't do anything good, which it just, that can't run, because we need a number nine here that can do almost everything. And honestly, Rashford is doing that at this point. But Lukaku, like, he's a big guy. The ball comes to him, it just bounces off him. Like, in, like, the 86th minute, he was one-on-one with Le Marchand, and he couldn't control the ball to then have the one-on-one with the last defender. And I mean, it's just like, balls just bounce off him non-stop. He can't win any duels. He's not that fast. I mean, what does he actually give us? Like, he gives us nothing, really.
I know. I mean, he was arguably involved in the third goal, the penalty. But even that pass to Mata before Mata got brought down, even that was behind him.
Yeah, exactly.
So it wasn't even like it was a great pass to Mata and he got fouled. It was like, no, that we got a penalty because the Fulham were defending so clumsily, and you know, that's just the form they're in. But say if that was against a top team, right? Mata was in there with a great goal scoring opportunity if Lukaku made a good pass, but he passed to him behind him. And
yeah,
we wouldn't have got the pen if it wasn't against Fulham, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, another person as well. It's just hit me now. Sanchez, I believe, is actually a finished player. Like, he's finished.
To be honest, because when he came on, I kind of understand Martial coming off first because it's like, oh, you want to give Sanchez some minutes, and I guess, like, you know, Pogba's got like that insane fitness. But I agree with what you're saying, because Sanchez, he really didn't really seem to do anything. It's kind of weird. Like, I feel like when Martial got taken off, I feel like our attack really didn't do that much. And then when Pogba got taken off from McTominay, it's like, well, we're just like, we're 3-0 up. Job done at that point.
Yeah. I mean, Sanchez, honestly, the quicker we get these two off our wage books, the better, because they get combined like 600,000 a week.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
it's crazy.
Get that off the books, get a couple good players in. I mean, are we laughing?
I know. And going back to that comparison you made between Martial and Ronaldo earlier, I mean, games needed to be directly involved in 50 Premier League goals for both of them compared. Ronaldo took 118 games to be involved in 50 goals, and Martial's taken 106. So the Adidas gloves, they're magic.
I saw people talking about how Ronaldo was 18 and Martial was 19 or was 20 when he came, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, technically, Ronaldo was in a much better team even when he was younger. Mm-hmm. Like, look at what Martial's had to deal with over the past 3 years.
Yeah. And,
I mean, it's horrible. Like, he's in a much tougher situation regardless of his age.
And also, like, you got to look, one, the team was obviously a lot much better when Ronaldo's there. And two, manager. Ronaldo played under arguably the best manager of all time. I'm going to take the word arguable out of there. He is the best manager of all time.
It's not arguable at all.
Yeah, exactly. I was just being polite, but 100% Sir Alex is the best manager of all time. But Ronaldo was under Ferguson and in an unbelievable team. Martial's been in a team that's definitely not as good. We're still a good team, but definitely not as good. And he's been under managers like Van Gaal and Mourinho, which you don't exactly breed attacking football. And also, he got bloody exiled by Mourinho since Sanchez came in anyway, so he's had to deal with a lot more, I'd say.
Martial's been exiled like 6 times in the last 2 years.
I know. It's sad. The French connection is strong now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Chuckle Brothers didn't make any mistakes.
I was just about to go on to talk about Phil Jones, actually, because, I mean, to be fair, in the beginning of the game, the first like 10, 15 minutes, we were looking a bit sloppy, and Fulham were kind of pressing us a bit. Chris Smalling, I felt, looked awful those first 10 minutes and then had a decent game after that. He just kept getting caught out of position, kept losing headers and stuff. But, you know, Dave was there to stand strong. Phil Jones, interestingly, has as many assists this season as Jorginho and Naby Keita combined.
Yeah, that's what it's at.
it's really funny, man. And also, did you see that shot where, for some reason, it was a corner, it got rolled out to Phil Jones, left foot, weak foot at the edge of the box, and I'm thinking, oh, don't hit this. Absolute corker of a shot.
Yeah.
Unreal. I think that just really goes to show the confidence we're in now.
Yeah, it sums us up, really, at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think,
sometimes, with Smalling, honestly, Smalling's another player that I can't wait to sell, because sometimes I'm having a good day and I just realise that Smalling signed a contract like 2 months ago. And then it's just sad. Like, the guy, he's okay at defending, but the thing is, everything else that comes with football, he's not good at. It happened like many times today. Like, he'd have the ball and then there's like a pass through between the lines to Herrera, and it gets us up the pitch much quicker. But it takes about 10 years to turn himself around and pass the ball. And at that point, the opportunity is gone.
Yeah, guy's got to make a 4-point turn to like pass sideways. It's quite awful to watch.
Other than that, he'd done a good job with Mitrovic.
Yeah, he did quite well. Getting back to the contract, I feel like Phil Jones was slightly trying to justify his contract extension with that shot.
Yeah,
really trying to prove himself to the fans. So, you know, great performance overall. You know, it was a good game. It was an entertaining game. I mean, I think really the main things to take from this is where we made 6 changes, and even though we weren't against the best team in the league, that's still a risk against any Premier League team to change half your squad. And clearly, Ollie trusts the squad. Everyone's in high spirits, and we got a result in the end.
Didn't we do that against Burnley, and it kind of didn't go our way? I mean, we drew, but it didn't go well.
Yeah, pretty much cost us. But it's risky, but you can understand it with PSG coming up in 3 days after the game. You want to rest your best team for PSG in the Champions League, and like a week after, you've got Chelsea in the FA Cup. So it's understandable that Fulham, out of those 3 games, you're thinking rest players against Fulham, and then play your best teams against the. Your best team against the other two.
Yeah, I mean, today I would have rested. I would have rested Herrera and brought in Fred, if I'm being honest.
I know, but Herrera was he was key today. He he's missed a consistency under Solskjaer. He made 9 ball retentions today, which is more than any other player, which is, it just shows, like, you don't see him, like, Pogba's getting, obviously, all the plaudits. He deserves that. He's playing out of his mind. But Herrera, again, he's just doing his job. He's just, you know, helping the team out where it needs. And he's just really helping us perform.
Yeah. I mean, now that he's coming into form, I think it's going to be tough. Like, with a midfield that's working so well as a collective, I think it's going to be really difficult when we don't have one of those three. Mm. And I think that, obviously, whether it will be Fred, Pereira, whoever it is, they'll always have a difficult game when they come in for one of those three, because everything will just be off sync, and then it makes them look bad, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I also think McTominay is above the Pereira and pecking order at the moment, because Pereira's really not performed at all, really.
I mean, at this point, it's understandable, but yeah. I do think Pereira's more talented. But
yeah. 100%, I agree. I mean, I've let my thoughts known about McTominay saying he doesn't deserve a contract extension and stuff. So I'm fully behind you, but you can't argue with performances. And although McTominay's not done that much, Pereira's just seemed to struggle.
Yeah, the thing with McTominay is he just doesn't do anything that's risky. Like, yeah. His game's really, really simple.
Mm.
So, I mean, I guess that's why he's in the team ahead of Pereira, I guess.
But, I mean, maybe it's what you want sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. You need to have a balance.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, still undefeated under Ollie, and roll on PSG.
3 days later.
It's such a disappointing result, isn't it?
I mean, for fuck's sake, it's like, the guy shouldn't even be on the pitch to score the goal in the first place. That's the thing that's annoying me the most.
The thing that annoyed me about the refereeing is he was just so inconsistent. Like, yeah. Fair enough, Pogba got sent off, right? Like, fair. That's really annoying. That's kind of like, feels like nail in the coffin there, really, for the second leg. But if you're going to send Pogba off for 2 challenges, fair enough, you can argue, you know, both yellows, maybe straight red at the end. I feel that would be a bit harsh, but 2 yellows, fair enough. But then Kimpembe should have been sent off like 4 times. The guy should have got 4 or 5 yellow cards. I don't know how he got away with it. He was the first man to get carded for the first challenge after stopping a counterattack. And then he proceeded to do that 2 more times where he just completely took Shaw out when he was like literally running through into the box. He just took him out like 5 yards outside the box, and it wasn't even a foul. We didn't even get a foul. It was ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. Like, that was like a Stonewall yellow card, and I don't know why that wasn't given. Also on the right wing, Rashford running down the right wing. Rashford was in front of him. Like, he literally wraps his arms around Rashford and pulled him back and pulled him to the floor. That's nothing. That's not a card or anything. Yeah.
Young got yellow carded for the exact same foul.
I know, on Mbappe. So the thing that frustrates me was just such inconsistent refereeing. It was literally a woeful performance from the ref today.
I mean, the thing is, it's like VAR is in place, and VAR in the Champions League works differently to VAR everywhere else, which doesn't make sense, firstly.
Yeah.
And secondly, it's an acronym for video assistant referee. Assist the guy, literally. They say that you call the VAR comes into play when it's obvious or like obvious decisions that haven't been seen by the referee. Yeah.
Mm.
To me, 2 of those are obvious decisions that weren't seen by the referee.
Yeah, when Kimpembe should be carded, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially since we should have a free kick on the edge of the box and a free kick and a yellow when Rashford near the corner flag when he was running down the right side. And it's like,
also,
that they weren't even given us fouls, which is the most ridiculous thing ever, when they were just obvious yellow cards.
Yeah, also, you know when Di Maria crossed in for Mbappe for the second goal?
Yeah.
I'm like 98% sure he was offside and there was no VAR. Like, they didn't check the VAR or anything for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see. I mean, I saw the goal, obviously, but I didn't see it offside or not offside or whatever. I didn't see that view of it. But
issue, to be honest, as soon as Lingard and Martial went off, although they weren't really doing much in the first half, it sort of, Steve McManaman might have said it, where it makes it so the PSG defenders had less to worry about when they were off, so they're able to move into different spaces and be more adventurous.
100%, because even in the first half, as you said, even though they didn't really do that much, there was still the massive threat of the counter-attack. We went on the counter a couple of times, do you know what I mean, where PSG were kind of controlling it, passing about in the field. When they were passing side to side on the edge of our box, we'd win the ball and then would break. And there was just, like, obviously there was just none of that in the second half. I think, like, it's hard because you think, look at our bench, you should have some solid options. Sanchez, Lukaku, Mata. If you think that our star signing, Lukaku, a year and a half ago, who we paid upwards of 70 mil for, 2 attackers, gets injured and he doesn't even get a looking. Surely you should see that something's wrong there.
Yeah.
If Lukaku could get on the pitch when Rashford, not Rashford, sorry, when Lingard and Martial get injured, there's something wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I said this in the last episode. I said, Sanchez, I honestly believe, is a finished player. Like, the guy doesn't offer anything whatsoever. Like, in any defensively, attacking, any like ball possession, without the ball, anything. The guy doesn't offer anything. And Juan Mata, when you bring a guy like Juan Mata on, your game plan 100% shifts.
Yeah.
Because you go from dynamic players to somebody who always wants the ball at his feet and can't run in behind. So, I mean, and he can't press back either. So, I mean, the whole game plan went out the window when our two wide men went off the pitch.
No, I agree with you. Like, the injuries really hurt us. It really just showed that the depth in quality isn't there. Like, our front three in Rashford, Martial and Lingard are really good and they work really well. But if one of them gets injured, and like today, two of them got injured, we just look like a completely different team. I mean, as you said, Mata, he doesn't offer anything in the form of pace or wing play or counter-attacking football. And Sanchez, I always feel like with Sanchez, that I feel like I owe him a chance. But in reality, the guy's done absolutely nothing. Like, what has he offered since he's come here? Mkhitaryan was labelled a flop, and Mkhitaryan performed 100 times better than Sanchez ever has.
Oh, 100%. Not even any doubt.
Yeah, it's just... But, like, those two players, I really like Mata, I do. Sanchez, I don't really care about too much, but they both do look a bit, like, finish at the highest level. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the thing... I don't want to overreact or sound like I'm overreacting, but we saw things that we saw under Mourinho where, in the instance I'm talking about, is where when an opposition team, like, makes it their duty to shut down Pogba...
Mm-hmm.
Everything in front of Pogba stops. It, like, everything's at a standstill.
Yeah.
Like, we don't make any chances. We don't do anything offensively when Pogba's shut down. And what Tuchel did is put Marquinhos on Pogba when we had the ball. And when we didn't, and when they didn't have the ball, Marquinhos was so tight to him that whenever he did get the ball, he turned around and there's just a guy standing in front of him all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they literally locked him down. And what it did is they had Kerr and Dani Alves double-team Martial and Pogba on the right-hand side. So, literally, we had our left side, our most productive side in almost every game. And today, it was our right side because they were locking down the left side.
Yeah, I mean, you've kind of got to give credit to Thomas Tuchel. Like, PSG, they'd really done their homework. Like, as you said, controlling Pogba by sticking Marquinhos on him, he was arguably the best player on the pitch tonight. And it's just because, one, he shut down Pogba, and two, he was able to get the ball forward quickly as soon as he got the ball. I mean, he was just really... really good. I mean, and the thing is, as you said, stopping Pogba stops the link up with Martial. And Martial, he didn't really get a look in first half. I think he only had 8 touches half an hour into the game, which was even De Gea had more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But the thing is, like we were saying before, there was still that element of, like, they were scared whenever the ball was going down that side. Like, whenever Martial was free, you could see, like, the crowd were up and you could see that they started backtracking immediately. And that threat was completely gone when he went off.
Yeah, you could sense that, especially since Tuchel played Dani Alves, like, right wing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he literally had two right backs on the pitch, even with their main right back out.
Yeah. So, I mean, he did a Mourinho where he sets up to nullify the other team rather than focusing on their strengths. But he sort of did like a hybrid where they worked on their strengths, which is ball possession and moving the ball forward quickly. And with Dani Alves, they nullified our main attackers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it all worked out for them, fair enough.
Yeah, fair play to him. It was really well set up by Tuchel, but it still feels just very frustrating. I know it's not the referee's fault that we lost the game, because they outperformed us 100%. They were the better team, but they are in different stages. Do you know what I mean? They'd like
100%.
You can't expect Ole Solskjaer to come in here and after 12 games turn us into Barcelona. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. It's just we're still the same squad we were at the beginning of the season, and that squad was. Realistically, it's not at PSG's level.
But I am kind of nervous about what he said recently about how he doesn't think we need some star players, and I don't agree with that now. I mean, looking just based on the game we just played, I mean, we have depth, but we don't have depth because the depth that we have isn't good enough. And I do think that we have Pogba as our main star player, and I think we need star players in other areas of the pitch as well, not necessarily Galacticos, but you know. Like 50, 60 million pound players. I think we need those.
Yeah, honestly, like watching that game, I kind of get what he's saying about, like, don't rely on star players, but I think we do definitely need strengthening in key areas. I'd say right wing, 100%, because...
Right back, because Young, I don't know what he was doing for, like, 90
minutes. Oh, my goodness. Right back, don't get me started.
Young's positioning is is so bad, honestly.
He was just caught out non-stop. Di Maria did nothing first half, and Ashley Young bodying off the pitch, that was probably the highlight of the game, really. But second half, he was kind of free to roam down that left side, and Ashley Young was just out of position a hell of a lot, which, you know, showed with the second goal they scored.
Yeah. Also, the problem I have with Young is he was a winger that doesn't have good crossing. Like, that doesn't make sense either.
To be fair to him, he did get a couple of decent balls in the box, but, you know, our players didn't gamble and get in there, or it just didn't find anyone. I've got to say today, our crossing, especially from corners, was absolutely woeful. How many corners we had, and we couldn't beat the first man. We literally never got on the end of a cross.
Yeah.
It was horrendous. I think
the issue we have now is if Martial and Lingard are both out for a considerable amount of time, because it's muscular issues, injuries that Holger said. So if they're out for a considerable amount of time, and we have City, Liverpool, and Chelsea on the horizon, I mean, I don't know what to think, to be honest. Those could have gone from winnable to competitive games to a total, like, 180.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And that really just goes back to our... depth of quality in the squad. As I was saying, right wing, seeing as we don't have a designated right wing, and Jesse Lingard's playing there and he's playing well. But as we said, Jesse Lingard out, we put Mata there, who's clearly past his best. He doesn't offer what you want a right wing to do, which is penetrate with runs. Obviously, right back, I feel like we need a right back who's ready to play now. I know we got Dalot, but he's young, and we need to either just start playing him so he gets in the flow of things and starts taking the role into his own. But Young is not good enough. We need a right-back who can play now, whether that's Dalot or someone else we need to bring in, because clearly that area is a weakness for us. I also think centre-back, you know, it definitely wasn't the centre-back's fault today that we conceded, but I've got to say, that second goal, he could have done better for that. He could have got across and blocked across there, but he seemed to kind of slow down. I don't know if that's like just a lack of experience, but it does seem like we need to strengthen our centre-back position.
Thing is, I say this, in the world, there's no other player that gets to the ball in the middle than Mbappe. So I'm not really putting too much stock in that, to be honest, because it's like one instance that I doubt happens again, because Bailly is extremely quick for a centre-back. And it's just that there's just one time where there's an attacker that happens to be faster than him. So, I mean, in any other case, the striker wouldn't be there anyway, I don't think. But yeah, I do agree with you, though. We still do need centre-backs, and namely one experienced one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, moving on to Mbappe, that guy is world class. There's no doubt about that. That guy is unbelievable. Not even counting all how good he is at finishing for his age, or his ball control, or things he can do. His sheer pace alone makes him absolutely terrifying. We saw it a couple times in this game where he just got unleashed and he ran 50 yards in like 3 seconds. And it's like, what can you even do? I mean, you know, that's a slight over-exaggeration, but you can't, what can you do about that pace?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, when it comes to the centre-backs, I'm not putting too much stock in this game, because, honestly, like, they're not going to face that often. Like, it's probably, like, once in a blue moon, because rarely are you going to get a striker that's that fast.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say, like I was saying before, I don't want to sound like I'm overreacting or anything, but I think games like this, and games like this that will come further on in the season, I assume a game like this may come later on against Liverpool, against City, or someone like that, I think that if the trend does continue, well, it's not really a trend yet because it's only one game, but if we do see a trend of us coming short in those games, I do think that is the fine line between Ole getting the job or not getting the job, because although this is the first game he's really had to show much, I do think that the board will think that if Poch was in his position, we would have had a better game. I can't help but think that.
No, I agree. And I think that just goes to show the experience that Poch has at a higher level than Ollie does, because Ollie's been managing Mold and he's managed Cardiff in the past. I don't think anyone would look at those two's managerial career and say Ollie's done a better job than Poch, because Poch is clearly, I'm not going to say achieved more than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but I think if you ask 100 people, 95% of those people are going to say Pochettino is the better manager. But saying that, I don't think Solskjaer has counted himself out of the running to be our permanent manager with one loss against PSG. And just as he shouldn't have been appointed after beating Tottenham or Arsenal. Do you know what I mean? It's just,
the thing is that
we can't really overreact. You just got to wait to the end of the season and see how he's done overall.
Yeah. But I do think that I do think Ollie still has a chance, a good chance as well. Mm-hmm. But I do think that Pochettino's style is also more suited to dominating European ties. Because Pochettino's teams are much more possession-based. And against a team like PSG, at home, I know right now we're more of a counter-attacking team, but at home you should really be comfortable in possession. And to be honest, we weren't at all today.
No, we had 44% possession to PSG's 56, and they did look a lot more comfortable. I've got to say, at the start of the game, we pressed really quickly, and it didn't look like they used to getting put under pressure like that in their league. And they were struggling. They were passing out of play. They were kind of like, that you saw them, they weren't used to it, and it was working, but they really just took the sting out of the game, nullified it. They took possession, assumed control, played it about, and slowed the pace of the game down to suit them, and that's why the first half kind of nothing really happens, give or take a few chances.
And the constant drawing of the fouls as well.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was part of the tactical plan, 100%. Because that was taking the thing out of us.
Yeah.
I also think that it's a tough one with the manager stuff, because I do honestly believe that if you gave Ollie a full summer to get his own players in and to implement his style over a long period of time, I do think this game would have gone completely different. But it's honestly tough. Like, being a manager in this current time is extremely fickle. Like, you either do good now and you don't get the chance to do good in the future, or you lose your job. That's how it goes.
Yeah, pretty much. That's really what it boils down to, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess to take out of this PSG game, it's kind of, you know, don't overreact really as fans, isn't it? It's like, we can't say, oh, that's, you know, awful game, sack Solskjaer, whatever, Kyle Poch immediately. I just think we're clearly at different points in our plans, as in United have obviously just hired Ollie as a caretaker boss, and there's still definitely work to be done with the squad in summer and in the future, really, because we're kind of left with a squad we've got a good starting 11, but then when those players get injured or whatever happens, the options on the bench, even though we've got signings like Lukaku who've cost 70 odd mil, they're not really up to scratch.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the final thing I'll say is, I think Ollie said that in his post-match interview, and I 100% agree with him. Today showed how often PSG are in these positions, like in round of 16 ties, and how little we are, and it showed the experience. And I do think that there is still that little like sense of naivety with the way we play. And I just think we're not ready yet to be in this current position in the Champions League. I think next season will be a much more, if we do get in the Champions League, of course, and it could be a much more accurate representation of where we are.
No, I agree. And I mean, Ollie did seem positive in his post-match interview. He said, it's a mountain to climb going to PSG, but mountains are there to be climbed. So he's clearly still positive. We'll end on this. Do you think we could go to PSG and get a result next leg?
I do. I honestly want to be optimistic and positive about it, but no, I don't see it happening. But I do think that we could put in a better performance now, because now we've seen how they'll play. And obviously it might be slightly different at home, but I think that we'll do better than we did at home. And I don't expect us to go through, but I mean, it's all right. As someone said earlier on Twitter that somebody was like, oh, are United fans extremely disappointed? Yeah, I'm disappointed, but I mean, we've endured much worse than this. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Not all bad.
Yeah, it's not all bad. All right, let's move on to news/ just general talk. I want to start off by reflecting on the PSG game. Considering where we were, should we really be disappointed that we got beat by one of Europe's best team?
I'm going to say yes and no, because we should be disappointed, because considering where we were, like you said, considering the form that we were in, the frame of mind that we were in, everyone was so amped up for the games. Me and you were texting just before talking about how confident we were in us getting the result, and it's just like it just deflated everything, really. I do feel like it's possible that there's like a negative cascade from this point on. And then we get bad result after bad result after bad result. But I hope it doesn't happen. But on the other hand, I mean, it does just give us a sort of reality check. And it gives us, we can see where we really, truly are as a team right now. So I guess it can go either way. It's not all negative.
Yeah, and I do suppose that if Mourinho was still here, we'd go in expecting to lose. And I didn't feel disappointed after we lost under Mourinho. I just felt like I expected it. And that's quite bad. I feel like that kind of shows, like, I don't know, the belief and the mood Ollie's got the club in at the moment, that we're actually disappointed to get beat by PSG. Because when the fixtures were announced and we got drawn PSG, everyone just thought we were losing straight away. So the fact that we're actually like weren't going and expected to win, I guess shows that.
I mean, it's not like we're not like Ollie's not that stupid. Like he's not like blinded by what's happening right now. He understands that we were truly blown away by a better team, and he does understand that we need to strengthen in areas to reach that level. And he does understand that they are a level ahead. So I mean, when you are like someone like Mourinho would not have accepted that they're just a better team than us. But Ollie accepts that they're a better team than us right now. But he realizes that we can definitely get to that point. With under Mourinho, it didn't seem like there was any sort of direction that we were going in. But under Ollie, I do believe that the only way is up, really.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of news, not really, but on the Anthony Martial and Jesse Lingard injury. Apparently, Solskjaer says we're going to have to wait a couple of days to determine the extent of the injuries. So I think really, depending on the results of those, that will really affect our chances going in to the second leg and our upcoming games, really. And to do with the second leg, they squandered a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember, but I remember they beat Barca 4-0. Yeah. And then they were thrashed 6-1 when they went to Camp Nou.
Yeah, but the difference is we're going away in the second leg.
I was
gonna
say it's a bit of a difference. I definitely don't expect that. You know, they had Messi and all that, and we just kind of got we've got Rashford and that's pretty much it. Other two forwards are out. So
yeah, I am scared about the near future because it's evident that we run out of ideas without Lingard and Martial on the pitch. So, I mean, yeah, it's a bit of a nervy time.
Yeah. Also, speaking of the PSG second leg game, French outlet RMC say Ange Di Maria might risk a UEFA ban by telling all the United fans to fuck off continuously last night.
Yeah.
I mean, he got stick. Do you know what I mean? So he's just giving it back, which I really have a problem with it, even though I don't like the little snake. I can respect if he's going to get stick, then you can give it back. Do you know what I mean? If they score, fair enough. But if you look at Article 15 in the UEFA's disciplinary regulations, apparently provoking spectators is the sixth thing that you can get suspended for. So I don't think that he'll get suspended. I think they'll just see it as a bit back and forth, isn't it, between the fans. What do you think? Do you think he'll get banned or no?
I mean, I don't know. It's tough to say, honestly. I think I don't think he should get banned, but I don't really care if I'm being totally honest. Yeah. Like, ban the guy or not, it doesn't really matter. And to be honest, it's PSG. I mean, they're not going to ban the guy. Like, UEFA aren't going to ban the guy. Yeah. Even if it is the right thing to do, they wouldn't.
Yeah, fair enough. To be honest with you, I don't really see that having a massive effect on the game anyway.
Technically, it could, though. It could have a bearing on the game because if they do miss Di Maria, they have no left winger, really.
They have Draxler, even though he's being played like bloody CDM or whatever against us.
I mean, they would have to shift a lot. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Because then Paredes would have to come in, and then he's new to the club.
But Meunier might be back apparently for that second leg, so.
Yeah.
But we'll see, I suppose.
I mean, yeah, I was just saying he was talking about how PSG had players like Draxler and Di Maria that they replaced players like Neymar. And once we lost Anthony Martial and Jesse Lingard, our game plan sort of went out the window, and we didn't have players that could emulate their style on the pitch. So I do think that Ollie realises that. I mean, he did say it after the game that we need to strengthen in the summer or in any other transfer window to get players that fit into his philosophy, because it's clear that the players he wants are fast players that can transition from defence to attack extremely quickly. And I think that if Ollie does get given the job, we'll see a few players brought in the summer to show that style.
Yeah, I think Ollie, again, he's kind of saying all the right things, isn't it? Even though we lost and our 12-game unbeaten streak had to come to an end at some point. No one thought we were going to win every game for the rest of the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Impossible. Next up, we've got Chelsea in the FA Cup.
Chelsea in the FA Cup is a type of game where we need to show what we're made of and bounce back.
Yeah, I think it will be very interesting to see how we bounce back from a loss, because we were saying before, like, it's all well and good winning every game and drawing the odd one here or there, but we're really going to see how this United perform when we lose, and I think that's going to be very, very telling to see what the reaction is going to be from the players, from the manager, and see if we can kind of get back on track after that loss.
Yeah, I'm expecting us to come out of the gates hot in that game. But obviously it depends on the personnel again. If we do see Martial and Lingard not play, and it's going to be probably Sanchez and Mata, I don't know. It does throw a spanner in the works. And Ollie did say, I don't want to keep going back to the PSG game, but he did say after the game that if we do not have Martial and Lingard, we need to find a different way of playing with other players that are on the pitch. So, I mean, we'll see what they do in the next few days in training and the game plan they come up with. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, I guess.
Yeah, I think we did say with the PSG game as well that out of all the fixtures that we've got coming up, I think I'd rather lose to PSG and beat Chelsea if the FA Cup run and beat Liverpool, which would be really important for the league. I think these two games, you know, they're much more important than the PSG game. We're never really going to realistically win the Champions League.
Yeah.
But with the FA Cup, we do have a good shot, a trophy there. And also for the Premier League, we want to get top four and we want to stop Liverpool winning the league. So, you know, it's probably out of the next three games we've got, including the PSG one, that's the one I'd like to lose, probably. I just think it makes more sense.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that is the one that's best to lose.
Yeah, exactly. I think with this FA Cup game as well, do you think now that Lingard and Martial are out, do you think we could see Lukaku start on the right wing again, like he did against Arsenal?
Yeah. I think it's extremely possible. I think Ollie sees now that there's honestly not much of a point in playing with Sanchez after his comments after the PSG game. So I think what will happen is Rashford left wing. I know Lingard's injured as well. So
that's what I mean, because last time Lukaku did start on the right, Lingard was kind of like a false nine.
I mean, we could technically employ Mata as the false number nine.
Nah, but I don't think it's because we want that penetration from that player as well, from the centre forward position. Even, you know, even if it's not your best finisher, you do want someone who can run on. Do you know what I mean? Because they flowed quite well, them three, before against Arsenal. So
honestly, it might be time to bring up an academy lad.
What, Chong or something? Or yeah, Greenwood?
Yeah, Greenwood. I was thinking Greenwood.
Yeah. He's young, and I don't think we'll probably bring him up and start him against Chelsea in the FA Cup. Do you know what I mean? I just don't see it happening.
As much as I hate Rashford on the left-hand side, it's better than Sanchez. So I think Rashford should play on the left-hand side. Even though it's sacrificing him playing up front, it's much better than being a man down having Sanchez on the left.
Then surely if Rashford starts on the left, Lukaku will start up top and Mata will start
on the right. Yeah, that's probably what will happen.
To be honest, I don't know about you, but I'd probably prefer that to having Sanchez on the pitch, because as we said after the PSG game, he's just offers nothing really, has he?
Yeah, exactly. It's like being a man down, so there's no point.
Yeah. Interestingly, looking at Chelsea's last couple of fixtures, they won 3-0, lost 4-0, won 5-0, lost 6-0, 7-0, mate. It's incoming.
Yeah, it just reminds me of that video of Gattuso when he says, sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. That literally sums up Chelsea.
Yeah, I know. It's strange because they're very inconsistent. Like, again, they set up tactically similar every game. They average 61% possession and they score nearly 2 goals per game. But sometimes they turn up and obliterate teams. Sometimes they turn up and get obliterated. I mean, you know, who's expecting them to lose 4-0 to Bournemouth? I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure people expected them to beat Huddersfield. I'm not sure if everyone thought, oh yeah, 5-0, it's on the cards. And then they go to Man City the following week and win 6-0. So, I mean, lose 6-0. So you never know which Chelsea's going to turn up, really. If Hazard's going to turn up, Higuain is their new signing. He scored a couple against Huddersfield. If he might turn up and bag a couple, you don't really know. It's hard with Higuain because he's just come in. We all know he's a world-class striker, or has been. But you don't really know how he's going to gel with the Chelsea side yet.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, I look at it this way. Like, with Mourinho, we should have won the game at the Bridge. So, I mean, we're much better now. So, I mean, I kind of expect us to win, but I don't want to say that because you never know, innit?
Yeah, but the thing is, I'd be a lot more confident if we had Martial and Lingard. I think if just one of them was injured, I'd feel a lot more confident, because I feel like if Lingard was out, we'd like, I think, oh, okay, we've got Rashford up top, Martial on left, Lukaku come in right. Do you know what I mean? He can do a job.
Yeah, that'd actually be really good.
Even if it was Martial that got injured, put Rashford on the left, Lukaku up top, Lingard on the right, or swap Lukaku and Lingard. So we do what we did against Arsenal, where we have Lukaku and Rashford as inside forwards and Jesse Lingard behind them. Like, it seems like our attack would flow so much better if we just had one of the two players who just got injured back.
Yeah, it's obvious that we're going to play counter-attacking at the Bridge, so I wouldn't be surprised if Mata doesn't actually play and Sanchez plays on the left, Rashford through the middle and Lukaku on the right, just so we have that extra speed, because we know with Mata being technically our only right winger other than Lingard, he doesn't offer much speed. So I think we'll sacrifice Mata on the ball for Lukaku's pace.
Yeah, I think so. He's not really performed and he's not really done much, but when he gets going, he can definitely run at players. He's definitely like a physical force, isn't he? So
yeah,
he does bring that aspect as well.
He's good at counter-attacking if there's a lot of like field in front of him, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
He can cover distances quick.
Yeah. So to round off the section, what's your predicted score for the Chelsea game?
I'm going to say 2-1 to us. I think it'll be quite a cagey game.
Really?
Yeah.
Does this one go straight to pens after 90 minutes?
No, I think that's the next round.
Oh, so what happens this round? Is there a replay?
Replay.
Yeah, so I genuinely think, because it's at the bridge, isn't it? So I think it might be, I think it might go to replay. I honestly think it might be like 1-1 or something like that. But
yeah, it's possible.
We'll see.
Good taste of character, though.
Yeah, exactly. It will show what the squad has as a squad rather than just our starting 11, because we know what our starting 11 can do. Thanks for listening to another episode of Trafford Talk. Join us next week for our reaction to the Chelsea game and our preview of Man United versus Liverpool. That could be a huge game. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our Twitters will be in the description below. And if you're listening on iTunes, make sure to subscribe. Otherwise, you won't get the podcast as soon as it's available. Apple do take a while to update their store for new podcast episodes, unfortunately. Also, please leave a review and rate the podcast. It would really help us out. And we'll see you next week. Going on up to the spirit sky. Turn the door.